The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. This gospel will have more meaning to us if we understand what went on immediately before the words of Jesus in the gospel. It comes from chapter 6, and immediately before our text today, Jesus has asserted very strongly, I am the bread of life. I'm real flesh. The bread of life is given to you so that you will have life, eternal life. And whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, brings my blood, will have life forever. And now comes the text of today's gospel. Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, this saying is hard, and who can accept it? Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, does this shock you? What if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some among you who do not believe. Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, for this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by my Father. As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer walked with Jesus. And then Jesus turned to the 12 and he said, do you also want to leave? Simon Peter answered, Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe, and we are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. The Gospel of the Lord. As you know, we have been dealing with chapter 6 in the Gospel of John for the last 4 weeks. Last Sunday was an exception, because last Sunday was the Assumption. But both Sundays previous to that, we were reading from the text of John's Gospel in chapter 6. And today is the last portion of that discourse that Jesus gives in chapter 6 in the Gospel of John. And as we know, the theology of Eucharist in the Gospel of John, unlike the other three Gospels, is found after the feeding of the multitude in chapter 6 of John. In other words, when you look at the Last Supper in the Gospel of John, which is much longer by way of a remembrance than the other three Gospels, but when you look at it, nowhere will you find Jesus takes bread and said, this is my body, and he takes the chalice and said, this is my blood. Does not appear at all in the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, and only John, has the washing of the feet at the Last Supper. So let's look at what we have to learn here from the Gospel of John. When we look at our society, the place in which we live, the communities to which we belong, there are various kinds of poverty. You have the homeless people, you have people who are hungry, you have all sorts of poverty. But then there is a poverty of the spirit, which is given to us in our experience of division, acrimony, a certain hostility, which is very much part of our culture today. And this division in a church, in a family, in a community, in a country, is a genuine, discernible value of poverty. It makes us all poor. We are less because we are divided. We are less because there is a hostility. There's a tension in the air. There's a lack of graciousness and kindness. It's a wound in the spirit. It's a lack of openness, a lack of courage, a lack of vision. And somehow it's spawned from the arrogance of certainty, that I know I'm right and I know you're wrong. That's not only true in society at large, it has a place in the life of the church, where you have this division between one person who is traditional and another person who is not traditional, and one condemning the other, one dividing a community, saying, you fit and you don't fit, you qualify and you do not qualify. It's a wound. It's a wound which we create ourselves. It's not from the Spirit. And it's been there since the beginning of the proclamation of Jesus Christ. And you'll find it when you begin to speak about the Eucharist. And it's true today in the church when we speak about the Eucharist. Keep in mind that in the Gospel of John, the Last Supper does not have the institution of the Eucharist. I once asked Raymond Brown, this illustrious scholar of the Johannine literature, why is it that only John's Gospel has the washing of the feet at the Last Supper? And Raymond Brown said, because the Gospel of John is the latest of the Gospels to be shaped. And in the Church of John, which is late after the others, there was a division in the Church of John. Some acrimony, some misunderstanding, whatever it was, the community of John was divided. And therefore, before John could speak about the Eucharist, he had to teach people the teaching of Jesus about being a servant and not a master. And therefore, he takes off the garment of privilege and he puts on the apron of the servant and he washes the feet of his disciples. That's an expression of Eucharist in the Gospel of John. And after he has finished this, he says, you see what I have done, you too must do likewise. He was speaking to the 12 here about being a servant, being gracious, being kind, withholding judgment, do not divide. Bind the community with kindness. Being a servant means you put the other person first. And that becomes something which is necessary before you can experience the Eucharist. The Eucharist is a sign of unity. And yet, since the beginning of the institution, the early apostolic church, the Eucharist has always been somehow a place of misunderstanding and division. Even we have it today. Who qualifies to go to the communion? Are you in sin? Then you don't qualify. I will decide whether you're in sin or not. Whether you should stand or you should kneel. Who should be sharing the Eucharist? We have the theology of the Eucharist. Is it a supper to which everyone is invited in the infinite love of Jesus Christ? Or is it a sacrifice that is given only to those who are without sin. Now, Pope Francis says, of course, the Eucharist is not a prize for the perfect. The Eucharist is medicine, healing, encouragement for those who are struggling in life. Is the Eucharist a place where imperfect people should come in order to experience the love of Jesus Christ, the grace of God, the gift of God's love? Or is it a place only for the pure of heart? We have this division even today. And the prayer of Jesus at the Last Supper in the Gospel of John, his final prayer is for unity. I pray that you may be one, as I am one with the Father and the Father with me. He prays for unity. It must be the last prayer of every parent. Every parent who is dying says, hold the family together. Why is it the last prayer of the parent? Because we're divided in our families. So how can we go to the Eucharist? How can we understand the Eucharist? How can we accept the meaning of the Eucharist if we are unforgiving, if we don't understand the weakness of others, if we don't bind our families and bind our communities together with understanding, with patience, and with judgment which is withheld? How is the Eucharist meaningful for us as a sign of unity to bind God's people together? To say, we will witness Jesus Christ to the world by the manner in which we love one another, we forgive one another, and we care for one another. Without that, we're coming to communion, we're receiving the Eucharist, we're not living the Eucharist. St. Augustine, way back in the 5th century, said, it's not receiving the Eucharist that makes the mystery come alive. It's not to receive the Eucharist, it's to become what we receive. We receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the broken bread, the blood of Christ, the sacrifice, the gift, the understanding, the generosity of Christ, and therefore the call of Eucharist, which is alive. It means we must become what we receive. Behold who you are, said Augustine, and become what you receive. So we receive the infinite love of God, the understanding of God, the healing, the encouragement. That's the meaning of Eucharist. To become that Eucharist, I must be a forgiving person, strive to understand, to heal the wounds in our families, in our communities, to heal the wounds in our church, to bless people, to lift up people's spirits, to show the power of Jesus Christ to the world, which we will live out in the manner in which we treat other people, to somehow overcome the poverty, the paralyzing poverty of division in our families, in our churches, and in our world. How do we do this? I mean, what does this Eucharist really mean to us? I mean, the bishops are going to come out with a document to speak about what they call consistent ethic. We all believe the same thing. My friends, before we receive the Eucharist, the priest and all, each and every one of us say, Lord, I am not worthy. Do we really mean that? I mean, do I really mean that when I say it? Lord, I am not worthy. Then who is worthy? Who among us hasn't struggled with coming to terms with the power, the extraordinary revelation that this is the body and blood of Jesus Christ? Who among us has stopped long enough to reflect on the theology of the Eucharist? We're struggling, we're searching, we're hoping, we're praying, we're asking God to enrich us, to lead us, to lift up our spirits, to give us somehow encouragement in a time of division. We're all struggling. There is no perfection here. We're broken people, and we're looking for the power of Jesus Christ. And we come to Mass and we receive the Eucharist because we need the infinite love of God. And not only do we need it for ourselves, we need to share it with others. And only in the measure in which we share the gift of the Eucharist with others will the Eucharist make any sense to us at all. Otherwise, it's an exercise. We come and we receive communion, we go home. Have we been renewed, enriched? Have we really thought deeply about this? And if we do think deeply about this, will we wonder, is this really the body of Jesus Christ? Is this actually the body of Jesus Christ that I receive? It's so familiar to us. In my 57 years as a priest, I'd say I probably missed having the Eucharist every day. I probably missed a week, maybe. And that would be because I was sick or whatever, unusual moments. Otherwise, I received it's the gift of my life. Even if I'm not scheduled for Mass at Holy Family, I say Mass in my chapel at home. And I invite everybody to my Mass. I invite my parents who are deceased. I invite the people of Holy Family. I invite the people of Haiti, Afghanistan, the people painful around the world. I invite them to pray with me. I invite the Pope. I mean, I have a wonderful congregation when I pray because I want to belong to the world. The Eucharist calls me to belong to the world, to be an instrument of remembering, caring, forgiving. Otherwise, the Eucharist does not impact us. We just receive the Eucharist and we go home. So when you come to look at John's Gospel and you begin to reflect on what does this mean, that Jesus Christ went down on his knees. This is the Lord God himself, our Lord and Savior, and washed the feet of his disciples. And then he looked at us and he said, you see what I have done? It's exactly, read the gospel. You see what I have done? You go and do likewise. What does that mean to us? What does it mean to us today? We will receive the Eucharist. And then Jesus says, as I have done, so you must do. Wow. I mean, that changes our day. I mean, now people will say, wow, Jesus Christ has touched this person's life. I can see the power of Jesus Christ in this person. I know that this person received the Eucharist because this person is living Eucharist. That's what it means. If it means anything less, we haven't connected with the theology of the Eucharist. And now it comes up in this reading, but next Sunday we'll move on to a different theme, and we won't have the opportunity to pause long enough and to really reflect on the meaning of the Eucharist. Now, the elders among us here will remember when I was young, we went to Mass all the time and we received communion. We didn't care about the sermon, by the way. Nobody cared about the sermon. Sermon was good, sermon was bad, who cares? It wasn't called a homily, it was called a sermon. And frequently it wasn't on the Word of God. It could be about adultery, it could be about sin, but it frequently was about hell. I mean, if you don't do this, and we got all that. But what was important to us was we had to receive communion. We didn't care about the homily or the sermon. Communion, that was it. So we are a Eucharistic people. And when we look at this gospel, it causes us to wonder, each of us, what it really means to be a Eucharistic person. What does it mean that Holy Family community is a Eucharistic community? Wonder with me what that really means.